Marry me, and welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. This is Kara and Saya here to add a little bit more magic into your everyday life. Remember, if you like this podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Maybe even give us a 5-star review, or drop a comment to let others know what you like about the podcast. Let's make some magic. All right, welcome back to the Witchy Spellcast. We're going to be talking about our spiritual practices today, currently, what we're researching, what we've been working with over the past 2 years that we haven't been here.
What we're drawn to. A lot of things, like we said last time, have changed. And yeah, even our spiritual beliefs and practices and, you know, everything comes with ebbs and flows. And life sure had been lifin'. So.
Life be life.
Indeed.
Life hard.
It did. It really did. Life happened all over us.
Excuse me.
That just sounds wrong.
I know. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Oh, shoot. Well, we kind of touched a little bit last time on like where we were a little bit. Like, so kind of start there.
So who wants to share first?
I feel like mine's probably gonna be shortest.
Yours is you wanna go first?
Mine's very short. The most like active practice type thing that I've really done in general has been types of divination, whether that's oracle cards, drawing runes, using a pendulum. Those are my more active practices. But in general, in the past roughly a year, I haven't been very active in any sort of practice outside of doing things with intention.
I mean, that is a practice.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to say it's almost like more passive practice because it's not as, I don't know, eye-catching, but it's still definitely practice.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like passive practice. I mean, doing things with intention is still pretty active. Like, there's a lot of energy that goes into that. So, like, it's not flashy. But
exactly, and we talked about that.
But it's one of those, like, I'm still going to make a cup of tea either way, but if I'm thinking about, like, I want to be calm while I'm stirring in my sugar, that's still practice.
Exactly. And we talked about it last time that, like, magic and spirituality and your practice and your craft doesn't have to be some big hoopla. It just can be whatever it needs to be in that moment. And if
Sorry,
it's remembering
I just like that word.
Hoopla.
Hoopla. Sorry, my tism is showing.
It's okay. As long as it doesn't become a verbal stim, we'll be all right. But just has to be your whole track.
Oh my god. Anywho's.
Sorry.
I was going to say something and I lost it.
That's okay. So, Rowan, what other kind of like. You said tarot and doing things with intention, like your tea. And you have the dice that you showed the class.
Those are very new.
I'm really liking
which
them.
I think we had only posted that on Instagram. I don't think that we actually had that in the main podcast.
Yeah, it didn't make the episode.
Well, if our listeners followed us on Instagram, they'd know what I was talking about. So.
And I mean, if you didn't hear it in the story, I saved it to my highlights on my Instagram, so.
Well, there we go.
There you go.
There you go. You can go to Kara's Instagram to hear about astrology dice. Which are just, are these D20s? Or?
No, they're 12s.
No, they're 12s. D12s.
Yep.
One is numbers, which correspond to astrological houses. Then one is zodiac signs, and the other are planets.
Which is so cool.
Which I've barely used, Kara would definitely know more information about these things.
Technically, looking at the dice, it's not just planets, it's also luminaries and nodal points, too. So, that is...
Which I think they had to probably add in just to fill out the 12 sides of the die.
I think it's interesting that they chose the north and south node to add in that 12 side, because they could have chosen... They could have chosen a lot of different, like, really big asteroids that are important in the charts, but the north and south nodes are also very important, so I like
their
choice.
I wonder who was in charge of that. You know, like, I wonder if somebody who knew what they were doing was in charge of, like, deciding what additional things went on the dice. Like, as somebody who has, like, worked in a creative field and has a creative degree, like, I want to know that.
Who made these decisions?
Yes. And who
at the same time, if you get other astrology dice, do they have the same grouping?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
So they all are north and south node.
Yep. Because most of the time you know those things. You know, like, not everybody knows their Juno. Not everybody knows their Vesta. Not everybody knows their Ceres. Not everybody knows their Black Moon Lilith. I mean, like, those are very popular
ones.
This is
all over my head.
Yeah, those are asteroids, though, but, like, those are, and, well, Black Moon Lilith is part of the apogee of the nodes themselves. It kind of goes in with the lunar nodes, but, yeah.
This sounds really cool.
If you haven't guessed, I've been working with astrology.
In the last 2 years, you've really dug deep into the astrology phase, and I'm really into it.
I love it. I like how it connects. There's so many connections to it. And I like connections. I like when things connect in a nice cohesive fashion. Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't, it makes my brain not work. I don't like fuzzy brain. Like, the only bad part that doesn't connect with the astrology is our yearly calendar. And that pisses me off.
Like the... What is it called? The Gregorian calendar?
Gregorian calendar, yeah. I'm sure at one point... Yeah. Like, I'm sure at one point it did, but, you know, Julius Caesar had to come along and be like, hey, fuck, I'm Julius Caesar, you know?
Invent July and August. So, like,
yeah. But, yeah, because, like, when we're looking at... Sorry, I'm trying to get comfortable to a point where Nick still can't sit on my lap. But when we're looking at astrology, the astrological New Year's is the beginning of Aries, which is the spring equinox. So it's actually the best time to make New Year's intention on the spring equinox.
Huh.
Because you think about, so the spring itself and Aries is all about new beginnings, because Aries is the first one. He starts it. And spring is all about new beginnings and, like, planting the seeds. Whereas in January, we are, like, halfway, like, not even halfway through winter. We're, like, still at the beginning of winter.
Right.
And
winter's
all about rest and relaxation and release. There's no reason for you to be trying to start something new when you're supposed to be resting.
Which is likely why no one's New Year's resolution ever works out.
Right?
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, since I've been getting into it, I started doing my New Year's resolutions at the beginning of spring, and, you know, you actually stick with it because that's how it is. But there is also the theory of personal seasons based off of your rising sign. So whatever your rising sign is would be your personal spring. So, like, Rowan, yours is Scorpio, so your personal spring would be in the fall. You would have the most energy in the fall.
That tracks.
Yes.
Yeah, so summer is your personal winter, right?
Yeah, also tracks.
No wonder I go into hibernation.
Exactly. So, like, there's something to be said about, like, the natural seasons, but also something to be said about the personal seasons that you have. Personally, my personal seasons are on track with, like, the basic ones, because my rising's Taurus, which is the second zodiac of the spring season. So I'm still pretty well on track with the basic cycle. Maybe that's why I like it, but it's really interesting to actually like look at that and like think about people, you know, in your life and like know, oh, their rising is then, that's why they have more energy than they're not doing the cool. Yeah, they're not doing that part of the year because, well, that's not where their body's at.
Period. Yeah, that's so cool. I love all that.
That also feels like you saying that mine would be the fall is my mm-hmm. personal spring makes so much sense because that explains then why, like, I never liked school growing up, but the start of the year being in the fall, that always felt like that's New Year's.
Yeah. And that's like, so Scorpio is the second sign in the fall season. So it's pretty well like midway through fall that your spring would start. So like you're gonna, and now that you know this, you're gonna actually start thinking about it. So like when we get into like October, you're gonna start thinking about the fact, oh wait, hold on, I'm starting to feel that energy coming back.
This makes so much sense,
right?
We're having revolutions here,
right? And then I mean, like, there's even the connection to like the moon phases too, because everybody has their own personal like ebb and flow when it comes to the moon phases as well. Because I mean, new moon is your time of rest, and then full moon's time for celebration and stuff like that, and also corresponds with our seasons. So like new moon would be winter, whereas full moon would be summer. So like we have that kind of connection, but we could also look into as you have a specific phase that the moon was in when you were born, which Rowan, because I'm working on your chart right now, I know yours. And it's a waning gibbous. Like, you were born on a waning gibbous. So, That would be kind of, like, you're going to have, like, that be more of, like, your new moon time. Which is pretty interesting.
Excellent film, New Moon.
No, it isn't.
100% kidding.
But like you can also think of it like this. I know Rowan, you use Stardust, the period tracker. So do I. And I love it because it also shows how your body can sync up. Because I was born on the full moon. My period happens on the full moon.
My That's period really cool. happens at new moon. Like clockwork new moon.
Well, new moon is actually a normal, like technically if you're thinking about it, basic new moon is when you're supposed to be on your period, and that's how they used to do it.
I feel like most people that I know, it is full moon. I feel like most other women I know, it's full moon.
So there's, I mean, it can change. They also think that like depending on where you are in your life and what's going on in your life is why your cycle is where it's at. So like there's like different, it's really, I haven't really gone super into that because I just got my period back after like not having it for 2 years. So
yeah.
I'm just starting to get into the whole like fully for the cycle syncing. Mm-hmm. But it is really interesting because the full moon as we're recording this is like 2 days away. And I just started my cycle and I'm not ashamed to say that.
I mean, I think it's, oh no, I was under the assumption it was tomorrow night, but it's
the third.
I have that assumption because there's a full moon market at our local like witchy shop, and they're having a little market and plant swap, and I'm absolutely going.
Cute.
I like that. That's cute.
So that is adorable.
Take in whatever plant you have and just grab one off their shelf, put yours there, and then leave. So it's really rad.
That's cute.
That is very cool.
Yeah, they're doing like tarot reading and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, we're talking about spiritual journeys, man.
Indeed. Oh,
part of this. Okay, before we went on our hiatus and everything, remember me saying, my dad told me, you're a star pod.
Yes.
I finally will never figured forget. That one out. Yeah, but I finally figured that one out. It's not a star pod. It's called a star seed. And it is an actual spiritual practice where you're like your soul comes from a specific star and everything. And I've been doing some research on it, and I just scared the cat. Didn't mean Ooh. To. I've been doing some research, and sometimes you can kind of figure out where, like, if you are one and where your soul came from based off of your chart. And, oh, I lost it.
I'm just getting pictures of Treasure Planet and using your natal chart to find the treasure that is where your soul came from.
I'm just getting
that kind of vibe.
There's so many different ways that you can use astrology. It's crazy. Like, there's karmic astrology where, like, it's like looking at your past lives and everything. And then there's like, mm-hmm. I don't like predictive astrology. Seems too gimmicky to me. I like, it's like astro seasonal living, which is using your astrology versus the current astrology to guide how you live your life.
And that was called, I'm sorry, it was
astro seasonal living.
Okay.
So it's literally like living with nature by nature's cycles in an astrological point. So like when Mercury's in retrograde, look at where it's retrograding in your chart. And that's the area of your life that you're going to see those communication issues at. Like, that's what it is.
I'm going to look and see when the next one is, because it always gets me.
We just had one, so it's not until fall, I think.
We're going to be in retrograde for my birthday.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Later I can look and see when it's, like, what sign it's retrograding in, and I can tell you what area of your life is going to be kind of, like, wonky during that time.
Great. Hopefully it's not my career or traveling.
Why are you traveling?
It normally is. Well, normally we go and do something for our birthdays. Like, we'll go to, like, New Orleans or to Atlanta or somewhere, like, down here in the South that we've never been to, or do something like swim with manatees and all that.
Yeah.
So, like, we have to travel to get to these places. I don't know how we'll be doing that this year, given my health situation. But, yeah, normally that's what we do.
Yeah.
I just realized it's also going to be in retrograde. Plot twist, I'm coming to West Virginia in September for a wedding. Yeah, so we'll be up in like Cheat Lake, Morgantown area from like the 9th to like the 11th or something. So maybe we'll come a few days early and hang out and do a live recording again.
That actually makes the show.
Yeah, you say again, we never posted the original.
No, the original one is, it's not unusable, but it's definitely, like, something that's going to be behind a paywall.
Yeah, you can't, there's so much not safe for work material in that.
True.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, our other live recording that we had done was the day of the explosion.
Yeah. Like, maybe literally, like an hour before.
20 minutes to an hour before we were recording. And then after we finished recording, we started the bonfire. Literally, the end of the recording is somebody saying, hey, can we start the bonfire?
Yeah. Oh, and there was so many people in that recording. Like, not just us. My dad was there. My brother was there. And then the, like, Loki, Plant Girl. Like, and then Trevor.
My God.
Like, I called.
So, like, so many
two or three friends.
You did, yeah.
Forgot about
I mean,
that.
Like, we were, it would have worked for how the season we were working, because we were about to do the spirit, and we were going to talk about spirit guides, and that was, like, mostly what we were doing was me connecting with spirit guides to gyms.
Yeah.
It would have worked. It's not going up.
For our listeners.
If we ever put that up, it's going to be behind a paywall.
Yep.
So, Kara recently sent the audio to our group chat, and we all got to re-listen to it and kind of, like, relive the fun parts of that night.
Yeah.
And in the audio, I'm talking to somebody about a dream I had, and I had totally forgotten about this dream until I re-listened to the audio and was like, oh my gosh, I totally remember that. But in the audio, I never got to finish the talk about the dream I had, which is, like, so frustrating to me. Oh, Kara, your cat.
You see?
I see. She is poor up on your chair.
Yeah. She's like from here up her first five. Mm-hmm. It's like
her shoulder.
Areas, but like from there down, it's just bad. Nixie, please sit down.
She looks like she mommy. Looks like cuddle she, me.
Yeah, she looks miserable. Poor thing.
I don't want to cuddle her because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt her. Because girl, she's got a lot of scabs. I don't want to cuddle her because she's got a lot of scabs. But she's going to try to sit on the back of this chair. Yeah, don't lick my neck. Oh my god.
Nixie, lay down. I'm sorry. That lay was probably very loud.
That's okay.
Lay down on your bed, baby.
No. So, Rowan, you've been working in divination, and Kara's been working with astrology, and I've been working with the ancestral work. So, everybody's kind of in a really different phase of their practice than what we were 2 years ago, which, you know, happens. It's part of it. It's a journey. It's not a set destination when you start, because you never stop researching or learning about different things or different practices or different tools. And
just with cycles of life, something that you used to practice might not feel right to you anymore.
Yeah, or like, for instance, I used to work really heavily with deities, specifically Greek deities. And since I started looking into like my heritage and where my family's from and things like that, it just doesn't feel right anymore. Because my family is directly from like Eastern Europe. And so like communing and worshiping deities that are from like, you know, Greece, Italy, places I'm not from, doesn't feel right anymore. I'm pretty sure that's because I'm
fine.
Yeah. And that's a whole other thing. Is like I was practicing with some Nordic deities for a minute there, which felt right in the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, things come and go in spiritual journeys, and that's just part of it.
And that's what's important to remember whenever you're in your spiritual journey, in like a spiritual reawakening or awakening and everything. Because I would say that, Rowan, you're going through a spiritual reawakening right now.
Sounds accurate.
Yeah, because like when you're going through a spiritual reawakening, and I mean, I just went through this the past couple of years, right? After the bonfire, when you're going through one, you're going to feel like absolute crap and not want to do anything spiritual. Absolutely. That's like whenever you get to that like down part, that's when you know you're about to hit something. Something's about to spark. And maybe the first thing isn't going to hit off right. But you're going to try it, and you're going to learn something from it. And maybe it wasn't right for you, but maybe it sparks an idea that might be right for someone else. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like, oh, wait, this isn't right for me, but I think this person would really get this. Like, this would be really all about them.
Or you just learn a principle from that practice. Like, for instance, when I first got out of the church, I was... For some reason, first off, I was 17, so let's preface that. when I first got out of the church, I went straight into Buddhism for some reason. It was something I was really drawn to. But it was such a massive undertaking research-wise for a 17-year-old that I was just like, I can't do this. But I did take several lessons from Buddhism and just have kind of continued to live with them. Like, karma is a huge Buddhist principle. And, you know, being just kind of, I wouldn't say passive, but like kind to everybody. Huge principle. But, you know, not every quote unquote religion or spiritual path teaches that kind of thing. Like, I don't necessarily think the Norse are going to put kindness and, you know, and nonviolence above violence. And,
well, you know. I mean, they were actually a pretty, like, Vikings themselves, is surprisingly, they were like, they're known for pillaging and like everything, but that's just what people know them for because of history. They're like doing a lot of like excavations over in like Iceland and the Scandinavian area where Vikings were really prevalent, and they're finding like these were people who had a full-on like basically farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And like huge communities, they lived communally, and like it was a necessity to be violent towards other tribes.
Right. Oh, and that's a whole other thing, is like Viking was like a job title.
Yeah.
And not like a type of people, which I find so cool.
just to even just kind of know.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, I only worked with those deities for a very short time, it feels like, maybe a couple months. But it didn't, it just never felt right. It just felt like, I'm getting all of these signs, I'll look into it, stop getting the signs, all right, move on. It's about
I just like history.
Yeah, that's true.
I just like learning things. Yeah, that's just me. I like learning things. Yep. I have an unusual, weird, unnecessary fact about a lot of things.
I think it's your ADHD, probably.
A little bit. Hyper-focusing is really rough.
Feel that.
Especially when you've been off your meds for a lot. Which I have been. Yeah. I've been off my meds for like 6 months now. It's rough.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I need to go see my doctor. I haven't, though. Like, I just couldn't with work and everything.
But yeah.
So I've been off my meds for a while, which is why I'm hyper-focusing on random shit.
I mean, there are worse things that you could be doing off your medication. So I let's hyper-focus on some astrology, you know?
Hyper-focusing on astrology. I've been watching, like, nonstop documentaries about random crap because I love history.
Fair, fair. I mean, I watch nonstop documentaries about true crime, so, I mean,
since I had baby G, I can't watch true crime anymore.
Oh, that's fair. I mean,
like, it really bothers me now. Yeah. Well, no, it's like, even when he's not around, like, I've tried, and I'm like, I can't get into this anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, it makes me anxious, it makes me uncomfortable, and I used to love true crime. Paranormal, all day, any day. I'm good with paranormal, it's not a problem, but true crime, it's really messing with me.
What's so interesting about that is I am the total opposite. Like, paranormal stuff gets me. Like, it gives me, like, I can be in the middle of the day at home watching, like, Paranormal Activity or whatever, and I will be so on edge and so hyper-paranoid and so hyper-alert of everything that, like, it will ruin my whole day. But I can sit and listen to or watch, like, an interrogation video for 2 hours and just be like, oh, this guy ate somebody. You're right.
Yeah, I can't do either of those. I used to be able to do true crime. Can't anymore. It makes me too anxious. What I tend to watch most is things like Untold Stories of the ER.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that either. I can't do medical.
Like, I don't... Like, do I... I have a lot of anxiety with, like, going to the doctor or seeing doctors. Mm-hmm. But I love watching, like, medical drama and, like, Untold Stories. There's multiple different shows that are, like, Untold Stories where it's, like, this person came into the ER with these symptoms, or this thing happened, and this is the progress of, like, what it turned out was actually going on.
There's that show, Sex Sent Me to the ER. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
The closest thing to a hospital thing that I will watch is Scrubs.
Oh, I love Scrubs.
That's the only, like, hospital-related thing that I will watch. I can't do it. I can't. House is fine too. But that's just because
I like house. On TikTok, I've watched a lot of clips from Chicago Med.
I've never heard
which
of it.
It's another drama that based off, like, the air of it and, like, how things, like, the show feels, it feels similar to House, but it's not at all, like, same concept at all because it takes place mostly in an ER. Mm.
But you know, like, what I could never get into was, like, what's the one everybody's obsessed with? Grey's Anatomy.
I never got into Grey's Anatomy. Mm-mm. It's too much.
And I couldn't.
What's the word I want? Soap opera drama.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly it. I was going to say the same thing about, like, General Hospital. Can't get into it. And it's because it reminds me so much of daytime television. Like,
yes.
House, I could absolutely get into because it was, like, gritty. And Dr. House was, like, the absolute shit. like,
you was Lori. Just smart.
More
like my whole personality is kind
drama
of
drama versus daytime drama.
Exactly. Yeah. He was an after work drama as opposed to Grey's Anatomy, which was like a you're sick at home with your gran drama.
Yes.
like Days of Our Lives drama.
So yes. There's something on Netflix. It's a comedy and it has like a bunch of like comedians in it. Oh my god, what is it called? It's called Murderville. It is hilarious.
Okay, 100%.
It's called Murderville. Okay. And the premise of it is it is about a homicide detective, and he gets a new partner each episode, and the partner is a famous comedian, and they do not get a script.
Oh,
so everybody else has a script.
I've seen, but I've they seen, do like, not. Episode. I think I saw the episode with what is his name? Squareface, really dry sense of humor. He plays the fox in Zootopia. That guy's name is. He was in Terrible Bosses.
I watched all of them. I just
I
can't
names. Hang on. I can't names.
Like the Christmas special had like, oh, I can't even remember names.
Yeah, it was the Christmas special. Is the one I watched. Because it was like, who killed Santa?
Yeah, that's the Christmas special. Pete Davis was at the end.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Him.
Watch the actual show. It's only like 6 episodes long, but it is so funny. Like, it's not gory. I mean, there's like one episode that's a little like fake blood spewy, but like.
Oh, yeah.
It was cheesy enough that I could watch it with Baby G in the room. Like, it wasn't like a big deal, but I was dry heaving because it was so funny in these places.
That's okay. Bateman, by the way. Yeah. Squareface, dry humor.
I'm one of those people, like, names mean nothing to me. I need to see the face.
Yep. I figured. I loved him in Zootopia because, like, whoo, the spice.
Oh my God.
He's also in a really funny movie called Bad Words. If you've never seen it, I also highly recommend it. It's very funny. His daughter goes into like a school talent show and sings like a Missy Elliott song, and it's like, I don't fuck with you. It's really funny, and he's standing there like cheering her on, and then obviously she gets in trouble. Goodness. It's super cute. 10 out of 10 recommend for family fun time cheese. It's really off topic, sorry.
The cheese.
this has been movie recommendations off topic. With the Witchy Spellcast.
Well, I was actually going to bring it back around, right? So you said you can't
bring it back around.
You said you can't watch paranormal stuff. Whenever I'm watching paranormal stuff, I start it like if I were going to be doing an actual like paranormal hunt myself, right? You go into it where nothing can come through. Because there has been times where people actually pick up stuff through TV, which is crazy if it's that strong. And, or it like draws stuff in. So if you start off going, listen, I'm going to watch this. It's for fun. Ain't no motherfucker coming in here. And then you're good. Then it's not weird or creepy.
Yep. New Orleans is an entire city like that. Yeah. Protect yourself, cast a circle before you start, you know.
Although I will say the funniest paranormal show I have watched recently is Ghost Brothers, and I highly recommend it. It is hilarious.
You recommended that last time, and I haven't started it because I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, you gotta check it out. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Like, 100% hilarious. There's a bunch of different series that they have, and then they do have one that's called it's with Jack Osborne, where they're just sitting there. I think it was like around COVID time, where they're just sitting there showing each other paranormal videos and like ranking who wins. So it's the Ghost Brothers and Jack Osborne, and there's also another one that's very similar where Jack Osborne is showing paranormal videos to Ozzy Osborne, which is also hilarious.
Oh my God. I love
this has been my streak lately is paranormal shows.
It's fantastic. Yeah, no, I don't.
I've just been trying to get off social media. That's been my issue lately. Is just the like social media paralysis, where I will just sit down, start scrolling, and suddenly it's 4 hours later. And
yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Like, how do I get off the couch?
Yeah, that happened to me back in like 2020 when I first downloaded TikTok. I was laying in bed and was like, oh, I'll scroll through this for 10, 20 minutes. I like feel like I blinked and it had been 3 hours. And I was like, I haven't moved for 3 hours. It was like 10 a.m. And I was like, I've wasted my whole morning. It was ridiculous.
Yep. I've gotten good at it.
If I close it and like set my phone down, I'm just like, no, I can't. I can't get up, pick up the phone again and just keep going. Like, the paralysis is real.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I will check one, and then I'll check a different one, scroll through it for a little bit, and go, okay, I'm bored. And I'll put my phone down.
Go back to the other one?
No. I'll put my phone down, And I will like look around and be like, okay, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I always have a book beside me, so I've just been grabbing a book. Well, or I mean, just putting everything down and curling up and watching TV.
There you go. I mean, I just become so saturated.
I what have to do multiple things.
It's because we're used to TikTok speeds.
Well, I think that's really it.
ADHD, the big problem with it is like I can't focus on a TV show unless I'm doing something else.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So, like, with mine is if I'm watching TV and I just want to focus on TV, I have to be eating. As the only way I can focus on TV is if I'm eating because my hands are doing something.
Yeah, yeah. I draw now.
Yeah, like drawing, iPad, yeah. Eating, or like playing cards with Baby G. Like, because he'll bring up his cards onto the couch, and mm-hmm. I can focus on the TV because I'm shooting cars across a racetrack.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, it's really hard to stay on social media whenever he comes up. He goes, "No, you put your phone down."
Okay. Yeah.
So you have a tiny phone police.
I do. He's like currently knocking on the door. I think
that is the only reason. Like that is the only thing that anybody has ever said that's been like, maybe I should have a child. Just to have a phone police. That's all I want them for. I need to hire a child to police my phone for me.
There you go.
Oh, you can borrow mine.
I also think there are laws going against through rebellion.
Oh dear.
He's going through a rebellion phase. The other day, he goes, "No, get off your phone." So I put my phone up. He goes over, grabs it, and takes off. And I was like, "Oh my god!" So I had to chase him because he gets under the table and he'll do this like back and forth under the table, so you can't get him, and it'll take off. I chased him for like half an hour trying to get my phone back.
Oh my gosh, that's really what's happening when you're ghosting us.
Exercise.
That is what's happening when I'm ghosting you. Gray takes my phone and runs off.
Well, so be it.
It is what it is. Anyway, circling back.
I downloaded Rosetta Stone, the language learning app, because Duolingo, while it's great, it's not really like teaching me things that are helpful. Like, I can say words, but I can't ask, like, can you help me? You know, so, like, I can say the mirror is on the ceiling, but I can't say, can you call me an ambulance?
Why is there a mirror on the ceiling?
Ask Duolingo. I don't know. It's the same reason why somebody is raising someone else's daughter.
Have you tried Babbel?
I haven't.
Your Babbel's good.
So I downloaded Rosetta Stone because it's the one that, like, it says a sentence, and then it has you say a sentence. Mm-hmm. However, it's really expensive, and, like, to do anything past, like, the first lesson is, like, $45 a stinking month. There's no way I'm going to pay for that. Duolingo's free. While it's not necessarily helpful, I'm still learning the language. It's just taking me a while. But, yeah, it's... If I could go through Duolingo and like select like topics I want to learn, like topics about travel or topics about food, instead of just having to go through what it's already like programmed to teach, I think I'd like it more. But for the time being,
Babbel is more like what you're wanting.
Yeah.
But it does lessons that are more similar to Duolingo, but the lessons are more focused. Like it actually has like a lesson tree. So you have to work down the tree, but then you can go back and pick particular lessons that you want to repeat.
Yeah, so Duolingo is kind of like that. So like it's like a roadmap basically, and you're like going along the map in your little whatever icon, and you can go backwards. You just can't go anywhere forward, which is the frustrating part. Because like I could scroll down and see like, oh, in 5 more lessons, I'll get to talk about vehicles, but I have to do the 5 lessons previous, which is frustrating. And I understand learning foundations and all of that, but it's just been really bugging me. And
yeah, but when you can say the mirror is on the ceiling and you can't say where's the bathroom.
Exactly. I don't even what is the word for bathroom. I don't know.
So speaking of, you don't have anybody to speak Polish with you. You know how there was a new art teacher that started last year She did a year abroad in Poland for printmaking. Cool. She can speak Polish.
How cool.
Yeah.
It's a very
front of contact. The mouth.
It's a very front of the mouth language. So like everything is way up here and none of it's like in the throat or in the back of the mouth.
Now, is it more in the mouth or is it like nasal?
Oh, it's all mouth. So you know how French is more nasal.
French is very nasal. Mm-hmm. German gets more into the throat.
Mm-hmm. Russian is very like center and front of the teeth and mouth. sorry, my hyper focus is currently language. So let's just.
Which is what you're working with your spiritual journey.
Exactly. That's the whole point of the topic right now is like the part thing of why I'm doing.
Into that is like my wife did German in high school and then did French in college. So I have like, I took, like little random bits from both.
Took like 3 years of French and I didn't retain any of it. And it was also not a language that I was connected to. Like, and I realized like halfway through the second year that I was just translating it instead of like learning the language because a lot of Italian-based languages or Latin-based languages read the same and they look like they're English translations.
They're very similar.
Slavic There's languages are not like that. Yeah. Slavic and Germanic languages are not like that at all.
There's a lot of overlap in that like area of Europe. When it comes to languages, like Spanish is very similar to Italian and French. There's like a lot of similarities. So it's easy once you learn one, you can learn the other ones pretty easily.
Exactly. So like, I don't know if I told you guys this, but when I was doing so I bought an ancestry kit years ago, which is how all of this ancestral work started, is I wanted to know about my family because like my dad had told me like, you're Polish, 100%. You are through and through Polak. And I was like, okay, well, I want to know how much. I want to know about my mom's side. And like, because my parents never told me stories about like their childhood or their upbringing and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I want to find out where my people are from, where my family's from, whatever. So I did that. And the more people who do the DNA thing, the more accurate the results are. So like throughout the years, you'll get updates. It'll become more accurate, stuff like that, because obviously they have a bigger sample size.
Mm-hmm.
So my DNA updated to being like Scottish and Polish primarily. And I was like, well, I have really no interest in learning about Scotland. No offense to our Scottish listeners. because I did our DNA tree, or our family tree, excuse me, and it took us like 8 generations to get to Scotland as opposed to 2 generations to get to Poland. So we're more immediately connected to Poland as opposed to Scotland. So that's why I've kind of fixated on that. And learning about all of the Polish culture and Slavic culture and mythology and all of this stuff is really cool. But what's even cooler is last summer, I was able to contact a man in Warsaw, which is the capital of Poland, in the like historical records for the country, like in that, I don't know what you'd call it, department, but he works for the country. And I was able to like contact him and be like, hey, I have this name as the first of my family to be here from Poland. I don't know anything else about them. Can you help me find information? And it took like 3 days and like some really broken language. But he came back with like, here is your family, and here's where they're from. And so, like, I ended up learning that the two grandparents, I guess they're like great-great-grandparents, who came to America from Poland, grew up 45 minutes away from each other, got married and lived in a town called Szczecin. It's S-E-J-Y-N. S-E-J-N-Y. Very little town. Huge, beautiful cathedral. Like, amazing. And so, like, I was, like, poking around on Google Maps in this little town, like, walking the streets with my little guy. I would look at, like, a sign, and I'd be like,
I know that word. I know what they're selling. And it was like a fish market. And I was like, I understand Arabia. Like, I understand it says fish. Like, I was so excited. But like, it was just one of those things. Like, and like, they're the big thing in this town is this cathedral where they say Mary Magdalene came and met Mary when they were both pregnant. Mary Magdalene, I guess, was the mother of John the Baptist. I don't know if that's correct. It doesn't feel right to me. But I don't know my Christian lore very well. So
I don't know it at all.
Exactly. So anyway.
I thought Mary Magdalene was the one that she was going to be stoned.
Right. She was the prostitute. So it's John the Baptist's mom, whoever she was, met Christ's mom in Poland, in this little town, or what is now current day Poland. So they have this gigantic, beautiful, like white marble, gold embossed cathedral dedicated to like the Immaculate Meeting, which is really cool because you could like put your little Google Maps guy inside it and you could see the cathedral that your family saw or whatever.
That's really
long
cool.
Long story short. Long story very short. I got to like see where my family is literally from, not just like, oh, well, I kind of know what Poland looks like. I could see, like, literally the town, which is smaller than the town I grew up in West Virginia. So, which is, like, 3,000 people. Very rad stuff. Very cool. That's ancestral very cool. stuff.
Yeah.
I even dove so far as to, like, look at houses for sale in this area. They're so cute, but they, like, crazy looking. Anyway, but yeah, that's how I've been connecting with my ancestors, is like learning literally everything I can about them, including what people before them believed, because like obviously my great-great-grandma was very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know Europe was Christianized so quickly, like in 880.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, I'm sure they would all be like baffled by me. But I am trying very hard to like. It's a hard line to walk with honoring my ancestors, but also keeping my own identity spiritually. Does that make sense? Because my ancestors are like extremely Catholic and I'm not, I don't want to offend or upset them, but I don't think they would be, because they understood what oppression was and what like freedom was, and you know, they came here to America to live the dream, etc. So I think they would understand that. So I'm just, fingers crossed, I haven't upset my ancestors, and that's why I have this booklet, so.
No, I don't think that that's correlated. Because you're honoring, like, I think.
You're honoring them by wanting to learn about them.
Yeah, you're honoring them by learning about them, whether it's in a similar, like, religion that they pursued or not. You're still honoring them. You're still learning about them. You're trying to understand and connect to them in some way. So I don't think that that would be any kind of like disrespect on them, because it's different than Catholic, you know?
Yeah. I've also been like very tempted, and like it's been something that I've kind of wanted to do for a super long time, is like start wearing a head covering as a sign of like marriage and like modesty and things like that, but like you guys know what I look like. I'm not necessarily a modest person. However, it is something that like a vast majority of my culture did, or currently does, and I even think maybe if I just wore a head covering for like during practice, while I'm practicing my beliefs and things like that, I think that would still count. I mean, I'm just making up rules as I go. I know there's not rules to this.
There's not rules.
I don't know why I'm making up rules for myself to follow.
It's not, I wouldn't say that you're coming up with rules for yourself. Like, it's more of, I wouldn't call it rules. I would call it this is the path that I'm wanting to take. This is how mm-hmm. I want to showcase my spiritual journey and how mm-hmm. I'm going to practice. So I wouldn't say it's rules by any means, because nobody's telling you if you do this, you're doing it wrong. You know, and you're like coming up with these, like, this is how I'm going to practice. So yeah. I wouldn't say rules. It would just be how you do it.
Sort of in a similar vein, I guess, like during early COVID, when the vast majority of the world was freaking out, mm-hmm. because I was working in a grocery store at the time, I was one of the like first responder people, I guess was the title that we had, right?
It was
essential workers.
Essential.
Essential workers.
I was thinking mandatory.
Essential workers.
Essential workers. But because everybody had that heavy anxiety and everything, I had started wearing a bandana to work to mm-hmm. and putting it on with the sense of I'm blocking myself from that anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was practicing that veiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It blocks your crown chakra from like negative energy entering your brain and all of that.
Yeah. And that's why I wear an aluminum foil hat.
Yes. That's why you wear aluminum foil, is so your brain waves don't get intercepted by the government, but also it be baking your head. You'd be like a potato.
But they're not going to know what I'm thinking.
You're also not going to know what you're thinking, because you're just baking your absolute brain, because your body can't go anywhere.
I'm pretty sure that what they would be able to figure out is that you're thinking about potatoes.
I am a potato.
Potato.
I'm a potato.
According to my husband, I am a baked bean.
A baked bean.
I'm a spud.
Because that TikTok audio, you dead ass built like a baked bean. Like a baked bean. That's why.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh my gosh. Hang on, I'll find it.
As per usual, though, we got way off topic.
Anything that, like, so we're talking about what our spiritual practices are currently and what we're researching. So I think anything goes, right? Like,
true.
You know? Anywho's, before we wrap it up,
mm-hmm.
is there anything, any one thing that you are thinking about right now that you're interested in researching spiritual wise?
I'm looking into Slavic folklore, which is less deity and more Baba Yaga. Mm-hmm. And like, so the equivalent would be things like sirens and Pegasus and Cerberus and things like that. I'm inching more towards folklore right now as kind of a hyperfixation under the umbrella of Slavic mythology, because like I said last episode, the resources aren't there's not a lot of resources out there. It's a lot of word of mouth. But I have a few books in my Amazon list that I am trying to get. But they're like, it sounds silly, but they're like children's books about like,
I mean, Rumpelstiltskin.
But
there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's where a lot of the history comes from too.
And also in a lot of ways, that's probably easier to read as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like at one point, it's a book that I got rid of a couple months ago, I think. I had gotten a book about Celtic mythology and Celtic folklore, mm-hmm. but it was so dry and hard to read because it wasn't made into modern English. Like, the stories weren't in modern English, so they were all written with a heavy Celtic accent.
So
I was trying to sit there and wrap my brain around all of the apostrophes in the middle of words. And
the Celtic language is something else, but at least it's not Welsh. Welsh is hard to read.
Hey, on that topic, Duolingo teaches Gaelic.
Ooh. That's interesting.
So, I mean, and it's free. Sorry. Not sponsored by Duolingo.
Rowan, is there anything that you've been thinking about looking into?
Not directly right now. I think my biggest focus right now honestly hasn't been spiritually. It's been getting prepared for an anime convention near the end of this month.
So, okay, but I can help you connect that spiritually, because there is a type of witchcraft that is art witch, where you practice your spirituality through art.
I mean,
and that
the three
could
of
work.
Us went to art school.
Yeah,
and are like now in a coven.
It is a full, like, there is such a thing as an art witch, and it, like, it can range from, hold on, I have something about it written down. I just gotta find it.
I know those words. I know what you're doing. Oh, it's gonna look so good. It's gonna look amazing.
That looks really please good.
Tell us who you are. Or what you're going as, please.
I'm going to be doing a cosplay of a female version of Elias Answorth from The Ancient Magus Bride.
So excited. I cannot wait.
If anybody listening to this knows who I'm talking about, please like message me on Instagram so I can gush over the new season, because currently it's finally getting season two. Season two is actively coming out right now, and I am...
Oh my gosh. Also, speaking of comments and Instagram, you can follow us on Instagram at The Witchy Spellcast. You can follow me, The Witchy Saya, Kara at Kara Darkthorn, and Rowan at Rowan Mistrite. We are all linked to the main page. You want to drop into our DMs, tell us, you know, your resources, what you're looking at reading or listening to, or, you know, if we messed up some sort of pronunciation or you disagree or you want to drop us some hate mail. Sure, whatever. Engage. Please don't hate us, though.
Don't freak out about me just ripping my horns off. They're magnetized.
Ooh, that's cool.
That is cool.
I figured if I bump into like a booth or something, I don't want to like rip it out of my hair. I'd rather a horn just fall off.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I got like really strong freaking magnets.
Nice.
I'd say.
Personally, something that I'm going to start researching, I'm looking into is Appalachian folklore. So it's interesting that you said that you were looking at Slavic folklore. I'm looking into Appalachian folklore because I've lived
lots
here.
Of tie-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I lived here for a while. I was born here.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about, like, the folklore. Yeah.
That's what's so exciting about it. I'm really excited to see if there's any crossover in between the two.
Yeah. Well, so, I do know that there's going to be some Celtic crossover, because there was a lot of Celtic, like, what's it called? Settling.
Immigration.
Yeah. That thingy. So I know that there's going to be a lot of Celtic, but other than that, I am interested. I'm not sure like where I'm going to go with it, but I am interested in like looking into it a little bit, because I mean, why not? I live here.
Exactly.
I live in Appalachia. I should know a little bit more about it folklore wise.
That's literally exactly what my train of thought was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which for some reason, the internet just wants to shtook Mothman for some reason. Like, I don't get it. I really don't understand the fascination.
Mothman! Because
like, I am not that genre of monster fucker. So,
thinking about that, there's a cosplayer I follow who did a sexy femme Mothman. And it is everything. They are so attractive. A non-binary cosplayer. They are amazing.
Fantastic.
So you know why we don't understand people who are like attracted to Mothman? Because he's like our dad.
That's fair.
We're all from West Virginia. He's like our dad. He's our cryptoid. Like, he's our state's cryptoid. That's not attractive.
That's but it's the same thing with like if people wanted to fuck the Jersey Devil. I don't get it. It's like
I don't
dog.
Get any of that. I'm like, yeah, seriously. Like, I don't understand anybody wanting to F a cryptoid, but like.
Any of our listeners out there, if you're a monster fucker, please let us know what the deal is. What is the attraction to
genuinely
Mothman?
Genuinely curious, because I don't
I
understand.
Want to know.
But like, again.
I mean, some of them I get, Mothman's but like others I don't.
I understand Sasquatch more than I understand Bigfoot.
I mean,
like,
okay,
Mothman.
Yeah. I understand like the Bigfoot stuff. That one makes a little bit more sense, but like
because it's a little humanoid, I guess, but yeah, like still technically an animal. Anyway, this is getting a weird topic. I just don't understand what the internet's fascination is with our cryptoid papa.
The cryptoid daddy. They probably cryptoid call him daddy too.
Ew, gross.
They probably
Stop.
Do.
No. Ew.
So here's, I'm just going to show you guys the cosplayer that I'm talking about.
I mean, that looks really good. It really does. But I don't understand, like, why are we sexualizing cryptoids?
That's an excellent question. I mean, I'm sexualizing that person because they're
Oh, Bucket Brown beautiful. Is, they are amazing. They're gorgeous. Shout out Bucket Brown. I love you.
I don't think I'm ever going to. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to get anybody sexualizing cryptoids.
Side note, if I could interject here in this topic, we should get like a Amazon want list for, or like a P.O. box for us if people wanted to buy us books about these topics. We could do that.
That's a good idea. Or recommend books.
Yeah. Just, I like, would love steady recommendations.
Oh yeah, I'll take recommendations.
Especially if they're audio.
Definitely audio.
All right. So I think we kind of went over a lot of things.
Maybe
what path we've been on the past couple years, where we're thinking we're heading.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking as a topic for next time so that they can start getting anticipated?
I would like to talk about the different kinds of festivals that happen in the summer that are pagan festivals. Like, Lammas is coming, and the Festival of Perun is coming. And those happen in, like, July and August. Yep. And things like, you know, what element are you drawn to in the summer? Because I am always drawn to water, but that's probably just because I'm super hot in the summer.
And that's fair, though.
But it could also have a lot to do with your elemental balance, too.
Exactly. I would like to know more about, like, my personal seasons. Maybe we could...
You give me your information, and I will work on that.
Yes. Please.
I'm doing it for Rowan. I can do it for you, too. You can
Thanks,
consider
Mom.
That your birthday present. Because I'm broke.
Hey.
Aren't
and it is a very... It is a very intricate process. I cannot promise that Rowan will get her work up in the next week. It's probably going to take
totally
a little bit longer than that. But I will start Saya's after Rowan's is done. But if you send me the stuff, I can at least go ahead and tell you your personal seasons.
Okay. I love that. Okay. Cool. Well, that's what I want to talk about. The summer festivals.
Okay. All right, so we'll,
sounds like a cool topic.
Yeah. I think it's perfect. And talking about different ways to honor the summer season. I think that's a great topic for next time.
Woo!
All right. Yay, now we don't have to figure it out the day of recording.
We didn't figure this out today. We figured it out a while ago. It's just lost in the chat.
We figured it out.
It was just lost.
Well, it's still not the day of.
Anywho's. All right, well.
That's been it for the Spellcasters.
Yep.
So we'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
Yep. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and give it a like. And there will always be a Q&A section on the Spotify. It's only on, if you listen to Spotify, you can only do the question and answer on Spotify. That's it, unfortunately, because of the, because we use a Spotify-based platform for uploading. So it is only on Spotify, but it's free to listen to it on Spotify anyways. So if you are a Spotify listener, you can do your questions there.
And if you're not a Spotify listener, we can, if you want, Cara, Rowan, we could put up a Q&A on our Instagram story, or you could add your questions to our Instagram post that we post the release of every episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you don't do Spotify, you want to still ask us questions? Might as well. I was actually going to suggest doing a Q&A for when this episode goes live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a questions thing. All right.
And well, people definitely send us questions.
Yes,
we'd love to hear from you.
Right? So,
that's it.
Yeah.
All right, over and out.
All right. So, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Witchy Spellcast. Join us next week for some more magical goodness.